Today, we're celebrating women making history with the inspiring Grace Adepina from Ghana, Africa. Grace is a daughter, sister, friend, women's advocate, counselor, philanthropist, politician, and a midwife practicing and supporting her community for over 20 years. Grace works at one of the renowned hospitals in the eastern region of Ghana, the Volta River Authority Hospital, Akasambo, which is crucial for the eastern region's rural communities. This hospital, the VRA, is more than a healthcare center. It's a beacon of hope for millions in the surrounding areas. Grace helps people in and around the community with maternal health, delivering babies, and with other medical and access needs. She has been serving this community for several years, and the hospital authorities look at her as a leader in their organization. She is also the founder of A to Z Quality Health Foundation, a not-for-profit that provides health insurance and health programming for communities in need. Grace not only supports the maternal health experience, she and her organization are also leading and supporting women's health education programs such as cervical cancer prevention and breast cancer screening programs and more. She helps provide education and intervention tools for women in her community who do not have access to critical health screenings and proper care. Wow. Wow, you've been making history your entire life, Grace. Welcome.
Thank you.
So excited. It is Women's History Month, and we are celebrating six women, of which you are one, who are making history and who have been making history their entire lives. If it's okay, Grace, I would love to get going.
I'm born in a village called Bebusu within the Eastern Region. It's a small village which cannot be found on a map. And life being from that background hasn't been easy. And what inspired me to become a midwife, when I was 20 years old, my mom told me that when she was pregnant, we were twins. And when she got into labor, she was not having money to take herself to hospital for delivery. So she delivered us in the house because there was no hospital in the community where I was born. So my mother even went off. She had PPH, postpartum hemorrhage. She bled about 12 hours. She was unconscious. And when she woke up, she saw that there were people praying. She was lying in a pool of blood. So when she told me that, in fact, I shed a tears. I felt so sad that if my sister were to be delivered in the hospital, would have all been alive by now. So from that day, I have the passion to become a midwife and take care of pregnant women and educate people to deliver in the hospital during delivery and then their babies to be alive.
Thank you for sharing that. And that must have been really hard to hear that at age 20, to go back in time and think about that. So at 20, you hear the story. What were your next steps like?
It didn't start straightforward. It was a struggle, you know, coming from such a background, no school. Before you go to school, you have to walk about in and out about almost 2.5 to 3 hours to fetch water and carry on your head and walk for a distance. And in fact, it hasn't been easy. By the grace of God, I was able to school and I continue to, after my O level, I went to the city where I went to do a secretarial course. I was working as a secretary and a receptionist in a hotel. I applied to go to nurses training. We wrote an exam and I passed and I went to do community health nursing for 2 years. So after my community health nursing, I was posted to a village. The place is called Sogakope, but it was sub-village. And I stayed in that village for 5 years. I was using motorbike to visit to villages by villages, which is far distance from each other. I was visiting villages to immunize babies, their mothers, to take care of pregnant women. At the same time, I give minor treatment to those who are sick with malaria and other diseases. I continue to do midwifery, which was my passion
That's amazing, Grace. So when after the 5 years and you went and studied midwifery, what's the process for that? Once you did that, where did you go from there?
I did my midwifery course in Huahua Midwifery. I went to school for 2 years. After 2 years, I was posted to our regional hospital to practice or to do my national service. After I worked there for about 1.5 to 2 years, I had opportunity and I came to VRE, where I have practiced midwifery for so many years now. It hasn't been smooth always, you know, but because it's my passion, I'm so much happy to render services to mothers and their families.
So talk about the good things and the joy in the midwifery experience and some of the challenges. And I've read stories about you. I've heard stories about the work you do, the babies' lives you're saving. So what are those high moments, the low moments, and how do you navigate that?
For the job, you have the joyous aspect, and another moment you have a challenging moment. I don't want to see any mother delivering a dead baby in my hands. And God, I've been so faithful. I'm able to save both mothers and their babies always, which has been a joy in my heart. I always make sure I monitor the case. I sit by the pregnant woman and I encourage her. And anytime I sense a danger, if I think this pregnancy wouldn't be safe to deliver, I quickly call in attention. I call the doctors or my boss. Before Grace calls, then you should know that it's very urgent and I call timely. It's a difficult work. If you don't love it, you cannot be able to perform well. So I always tell the younger ones, they have to have passion for midwifery. If you are lazy, you can never do it because you have to sacrifice everything. Even if you have your own challenge, you have to leave it somewhere and work wholeheartedly to be able to save the life of the mother and her baby. In fact, when I remember all these things, it gives me so much joy. And just not quite long, there was a baby that was delivered, and this baby came with a very poor Apgar. We resuscitated with all the doctors, and in fact, they gave up on that baby. But I never left the scene. I kept on resuscitating the baby. I kept on giving ventilation, ambu-bagging, till I saw that the baby's cord started pulsating. And then finally, he was able to breathe on his own. Then I gave oxygen and we referred the baby to a very far distance hospital, which is our regional hospital. We call that place Kuforidua Regional Hospital. So on the way, I was ambu bagging. I was ambu bagging. I ambu bagged to because later on the baby's breath wasn't fine and we have to ambu bag. So I was in the car ambu bagging till we got to the regional hospital. And finally, this baby have become healthy, fine, and they were discharged from the hospital. Just last year, 24th December, 24, a baby was delivered as such. They were twins. So the first baby came very normal. The second baby came out with a very poor Apgar. So we resuscitated, the resus diagnosed the baby being dead. So they took off the oxygen and everything. After 2 hours, the baby was there. I went back and then I started ambu bagging. Something told me not to give up on this baby. I started ambu bagging and I saw that the baby's, I felt the cord started pulsating. Then I saw the color of the baby changing to pink. Then the mouth became pink. Then this baby started crying. I called all the doctors and my friends that they weighed off the oxygen, but I called them to bring back the oxygen. And they all came down. Oh, everybody started calling their friend. They should come and see this baby that was declared dead. So, in fact, it was full of joy. I even have a picture of all that I'm saying. And in fact, it has been a joyous moment that this baby have been saved through me. And the parents were so happy. They even came to the hospital looking for me to show the baby to me. And I hope very soon I'll be meeting them to take some pictures with the baby.
So I want to move along and talk a little bit. So you've been doing the midwife work. I know that you have an incredible not-for-profit, the AZ Health Foundation. I'd love to understand, what do you offer? What would you say? I mean, I know I described it in your introduction, but what are you doing for people in Ghana? How are you touching them?
A to Z Quality Foundation is non-governmental organization, which is non-profitable organization. I'm the founder, and I render due to the passion I have for my profession, I deem it to have an organization that I'll be able to care for other people, like pregnant women. I go to churches to educate people. And then I do philanthropic works by donating to flood victims. And I do visit prisons to donate items to prisoners. I give them hope that they go back to the community and give what they also have. It doesn't mean when they are in prison, that is the end of life. I give them hope. I try to help people in my own small way. I use my meager salary, the small salary I'm receiving is what I use to help others too. So I deem it as I have been able to found an organization. I may have some people who can come on board to assist me to be able to take care of a lot of people in the area. Because where we are, there are a lot of people that have nobody to care for them. Some people, after schooling, they don't continue. And some of them, too, they want to learn artisan, like to learn work, but there's nobody to take care of them. So I think with my NGO, in future, if I'm able to get some partners, I'll be able to extend my hands to help a lot of people.
That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Grace. And it's tremendous. Again, I think the theme here is in everything that you've done your entire life, you've been giving back and giving and helping others. You've just been a woman of service. And how does that make you feel?
Yes, I think it has become like a passion for me. I'm being connected. Where if I'm able to render a service to another or a fellow human being, or to give the little, if I share the little I have with others, it gives me some joy in me.
I know that you're excited, as I introduced you, that you're looking to becoming a politician, to going into parliament. Why do you want to do that? And what are you going to do?
I always want to advocate for people. It's something that God has, because I'm the type, if I'm somewhere and something is going wrong, I think if I'm able to get into the parliament, it's a bigger platform for me to be able to lobby. And then there are other incentives that I can get to take care of poor people in the society. And then there will be a scholarship for brilliant but needy children to be able to go to schools. I'll be able to help them. And then the area that I'm being contesting or being an aspirant is a deprived area. There are no hospitals. There are no health centers. If women want to deliver, they have to be carried for 2 hours or almost 3 hours before they'll get to a hospital. And the last time when I went to do my campaign tour, a pregnant woman was being carried for a far distance on the way to the hospital. She delivered in the car and the baby died. It's a very deprived area. Our roads are very bad. When it rains, when I was doing my campaign, my car got stuck in the mud about 3 times, which was so terrible. So I'm just praying that I'll be able to go through successfully. People will come on board to support me in many diverse ways that I can be able to win that seat, so that I'll help women and their children, and then the needy people, so that they can also be able to achieve something and take care of themselves in the future.
That's brilliant. That makes total sense. So it's by going into parliament, you can do it on a scale where you can impact it from the very foundation. We met Grace Adepina in our programming, our Sister Good, our non-for-profit programming, and she joined for the 12-week. So none of this is a surprise to me. I'm just so thrilled, really thrilled to be celebrating you, women making history. You've been doing so much for all of the people in Ghana, in your particular region, and bringing hope. So I have a last question for you as we're finishing the conversation, and that's, this is your platform to share a message with women of all cultures, of all backgrounds, of all ages around the world. Like, what do you want to say to them, Grace? What do you want to leave them with? It's, as I said, it's Women's History Month. What would you like to say?
Thank you. All that I want to say is I want to encourage fellow women that we are wonderful people. We shouldn't undermine ourselves. We are people who can change this world. We can do a lot of things. As one writer says, if you educate a man, you educate a one person. But if you educate a woman, you educate the whole nation. That is women. We are powerful. So all that I want to say is we should see ourselves that we have something to offer to humanity. Thank you.
And I absolutely love that proverb. If you educate a man, you educate an individual. But if you educate a woman, you educate a nation. Women are so powerful and can do so much. I just want to highlight, it's Women's History Month. We are celebrating the incredible Grace Adepina from Ghana, Africa. Thank you so much for getting under the hood with us today and for sharing your incredible life story. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you very much for the opportunity given to me this day to be celebrated by our sisterhood program.
Thanks for listening to Under the Sisterhood. If you haven't already, please give us a quick rating and review on Apple or Spotify. And make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn so you can hear from more amazing women. This podcast is created and hosted by Under the Sisterhood LLC and Elizabeth Elfenbein, produced by Elizabeth Elfenbein and Matt Butler, and edited by Matt Butler. The music is by Ayla Schaefer, her song, Rose.